Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 118, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. As thirst the heart for cooling floods, so longs my soul, O living God, to taste thy grace. When unto thee shall I draw near, O when within thy courts appear, and see thy face. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 118.
the portion of God's Word that we wish to read this afternoon hour, you can find recorded in the Gospel according to Mark, enter of chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, but first we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Mark chapter 9. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And after 6 days Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain, apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And suddenly, when they had looked round about, they saw no man any more, save Jesus, only with themselves. And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen, till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one with another what the rising from the dead should mean. And they asked him, saying, Why say the disciples that Elias must first come? And he answered and told them, Elias verily cometh first and restored all things. And how is it written of the Son of Man, that he must suffer many things and be set at naught? But I say unto you that Elias is indeed come, and they have done unto him whatsoever they listed, as it is written of him. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them, and straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which had a dumb spirit, and whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of the heavens and of the earth, we have heard it in these moments out of thy holy word, when thou didst appear in thy great glory unto thy disciples, that thy servant Peter did not know what to say, for he was afraid. And when we also shall come into the place of thy glory, then our mouth also will go closed for the sight of thy great majesty. And we come even in this hour, in the place upon this world, the closest that we are possibly able to come into thy presence when we do enter into thy courts. O Lord, then we also do not know what to say and how to order our prayer before thee. For thou art on high, and we are upon this earth. Oh, that we may be given a feeling realization of our sinfulness before thee, of thy great holiness and of thy majesty, that we would not attempt to enter into thy presence with an unholy boldness, but wilt thou yet give us to come in the way of true saving faith. And because we have heard it also in this morning hour, how that thou hast given thyself even to come into the womb of Mary of old, so that thou didst take upon thyself our human nature. O Lord, then it is possible that we may draw nigh unto thy great majesty. O Lord, we can read it in thy holy word, that thou dost dwell on high, but that thou dost humble thyself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth, and that thou dost raise up the poor out of the dust, and that thou dost lift up the needy from the dunghill, that thou might set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. Thou dost make, O Lord, the barren woman to keep house, and that thou makest her a joyful mother of children. And thou knowest where that they are also in this afternoon, when there is from our side to be found nothing but poverty. There is from our side nothing but unfruitfulness, that we have to sit upon our own dunghill, because we have sinned against thee, and our misery that is untold. That we may be given eyes to see it, and a heart to feel it, and that we may be given also a little hope and a little faith, to cry out unto thee from under it, that we may be delivered from all our sins, that we may be brought once again into thy blessed communion. Oh, what a message we have heard in this morning hour, when thou didst speak even the name of Mary of old, and that thou didst say unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. O Lord, thou knowest the hearts of each and every one in our midst. Then thou knowest there are also those who in whom thou hast planted such a desire, that they may receive thy favor. Oh, that they may come not into the favor of a man, but that they may receive the favor of God. Oh, that thou may so remember us, and that thou may grant also the speaking by thy Holy Spirit. Oh, that we may be given to hear thy voice, that thou wouldst also say, fear not unto such as fear, that they will be forever and forever outside of thy favor and outside of thy communion. Oh, then it is possible, when thou wilt give, that thy only begotten Son may so be born also within our hearts, because we cannot bring ourselves, O Lord, into thy favor with anything that we are able to bring from our own side. Is it not the experience of also some in our midst, on this side and on that side, and on every hand, attempting to win the favor of thee? But it must become such an impossibility that we come into that holy despair, as we have heard in this morning hour. Oh, that thou would be a surprising God unto such also in this afternoon, and that they may be given, O Lord, to hear thy voice, and that thou would speak, and that thou wouldst take away all the fear, and that thou wouldst grant a little peace and a little rest in the heart by a true and a living faith. Oh, who is worthy of these things, these greatest blessings that a man can receive here below? Then we have sinned, we must confess before thee everything away. Then we are not worthy of the least of all thy notice or all thy attention. But Lord, we lay before thee the merits of thy only begotten Son. Oh, could it please thee to look upon him in this afternoon? For thou hast said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. O Lord, if thou art well pleased in him, also in this afternoon, O that thou wouldst increase his church. O give him then, Lord, his inheritance, for he has bought them with the price of his blood. O that thou wouldst send forth then in this hour of thy spirit to gather many in our midst who will glorify and magnify the name of thy only begotten Son to that never, never ending eternity. O then thou wilt be glorified as that triune God who has thought out that salvation, who has bought that salvation, and who has wrought that salvation in the hearts of thy children. O that thou may look upon each and every one of us. Leave not one behind, Lord, for we travel to a never, never ending eternity. Remember all those that are afflicted and sick, that receive treatments for serious diseases. Thou knowest where that they are, in the midst of us as a congregation, young and old, in afflictions in the body, in afflictions in the mind. Wilt thou remember them in the places where they may be in this day, that thou would give courage to supplicate unto thee as a physician who is able to heal the body and the mind, and that they may be drawn also for the healing of the broken heart in a contrite spirit, that thou may remember all those that bring thy word. Wilt thou give a supply from the heavens above, that thou wouldst give, that thy word may go forth with free course. Remember the students, that thou may supply for them strength, instruction, wisdom, thy spirit, the unction thereof. The student also that is in his home, O visit him, Lord, the desires they still live within his heart. O if it could please thee, thou art that great physician. We lay him before thee once again. O could it please thee yet, O Lord, to remember him, to remember us. And if it could please thee to raise him up again, to bring him in the midst of the flocks, in the midst of our denomination. But if it pleaseth thee not, O Lord, give us and him also and his family together so to follow thee, that they may say, all that thou doest is good, but that thou may supply in all the needs. Bless the means. Remember the old, remember the young, remember all that are in the prisons. Thou knowest also their place. O that thou may supply for the guilty and for the innocent. We lay before thee also the rulers of our nation, our sister nation in this great continent. Lord, that thou may also remember us and give us men of thy choosing to rule us according to thy holy will. Remember our school, all that labor therein. Look upon us in this afternoon hour. Wilt thou help us in the preaching? Lord, give to us a little strength. Give us wisdom. Give us courage. Give us faith. And wilt thou thyself bless thy word, that many may be called out of darkness into thy marvelous light, and that the meek may also eat and be satisfied, and that thy name may receive all the honor and all the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 227 all the stanzas. O Lord of hosts, how lovely thy tabernacles are. For them my heart is yearning, in banishment afar. And what follows? We make the following announcements at our male members meeting this past week. And the following were elected: to the office of elder, Mr. James Kreft; to the office of deacon, Mr. David Arnold Dusen and Mr. Harry Baus. All have accepted their offices. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory by Thursday, December the 22nd. Installation will take place, the Lord willing, on Sunday, January 1st, in the morning service. This is the second wedding announcement of Conrad van Driesten and Felicia van Herk, who hope to be united in marriage on Friday, December the 16th. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory by Tuesday, December the 13th. And the last collection today is for the Calgary loan repayment, Psalter 227, all the stanzas.
Thank you.
congregation, we ask your attention for this afternoon, for Lord's Day 25, questions 65 through 68. Lord's Day 25, questions 65 through 68. Question 65. Since then we are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits by faith only, whence doth this faith proceed? Answer, from the Holy Ghost, who works faith in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel and confirms it by the use of the sacraments. Question 66, what are the sacraments? Answer, the sacraments are holy, visible signs and seals, appointed of God for this end, that by the use thereof he may the more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel, namely that he grants us freely the remission of sins and life eternal, for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. Question 67. Are both word and sacraments then ordained and appointed for this end, that they may direct our faith to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation? Answer, yes, indeed. For the Holy Ghost teaches us in the gospel and assures us by the sacraments that the whole of our salvation depends upon that one sacrifice of Christ which he offered for us on the cross. Question 68. How many sacraments has Christ instituted in the new covenant or testament? Answer, two, namely holy baptism and the Holy Supper. So far, our Lord's Day. And this Lord's Day, with these questions, and that speaks about the sacraments in general. And we find in the first question, question 65, their relation to faith. Second, in question 66, their definition, what are the sacraments? Third, their purpose or their end, are they then word and sacraments ordained and appointed for this end? And finally, in the last question, their number, how many sacraments? Thus, their relation to faith, their definition, their purpose and end, and their number. And we wish, with the Lord's help, to consider the first of these questions this afternoon. Question 65, that is the relation of the holy sacraments to faith. And we divide it into three thoughts. First, that the sacraments are not the cause of faith. It says, whence doth this faith proceed? It says it proceeds from the Holy Ghost. Second, they are not for the working of faith. Whence doth this faith proceed? From the Holy Ghost, who works faith in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel. And third, that the sacraments, they are for the confirming of faith, as we read, and confirms it by the use of the sacraments. So the relation of the holy sacraments to faith, it is not the cause of faith, it is not for the working of faith, but they are for the confirming of faith. Thus, this Lord's Day congregation, that is an introduction. It is an introduction to the sacraments, and it speaks about the sacraments that we can read here in general before that it begins to speak about each of the sacraments in particular or specifically. And this first question, question 65, that is a transition from what our fathers were speaking about in the previous Lord's days, and introducing then what our fathers hope to be speaking about in the coming Lord's days. Thus, what have our fathers spoken about in the previous Lord's days? Well, and then we have heard that they have spoken in the first place about the ground of salvation. How important it is that we have a right ground for our salvation. Is it not right, children? Because if we have not the right ground for salvation, then our salvation that will not stand on the last day. And then our building, then our house, as that house that was built upon the sand, that is now going to fall in that day of that great storm. Thus, what is that foundation? Well, that is not, we have heard, the works of men. Well, we have heard it. But have we also learned it? That it is not the foundation, because the building of our house that needs to be broken down, and the foundation that we would build on that needs to be broken up, in order that the building of our house that may be only upon that one firm foundation which our fathers they have spoken about, that is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But our fathers, they have not spoken only objectively, they have also spoken subjectively. So that they have also given unto us some direction. And then they have asked also, how is it that a man, he is made righteous before God? How does he receive that righteousness of Christ? And we have heard that a man, he receives that righteousness only by, we read, a true faith in Jesus Christ. Thus we have heard that faith that is as the hand that does receive that righteousness of Christ for itself. That faith is not the ground. We have heard that also. The religious professor, he would like to make it the ground, because then he can bring something still from his own side. A congregation who is now saved, a believer or a sinner, not a believer, but a sinner is saved. Thus, it is not faith, it is not believing that is the ground, but that ground is only lying, as we heard, in that righteousness of Christ. And yet, neither does it go without faith, because Paul says that by faith ye shall be justified, and the just, he shall live by his faith. There is no other way to receive it. And now what do our fathers speak about next? They say, since then we are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits by faith only, whence doth this faith proceed? Thus they ask, where does that now come from? How may I now receive that faith that our fathers say is so necessary in order that I may receive that righteousness of Christ? Is that also now our question? We hope And that also many in our midst may be asking, how may I now receive that faith? How may I be made to believe? This Lord's Day that speaks by beginning about the sacraments, and the sacraments, they have much to do with faith. But our fathers, they begin by saying that those sacraments, they are not the cause of faith. The Roman Catholic estimation of the sacraments is much too high, that they are attributing unto the sacraments that which does not belong to the sacraments. But let it never be our thought that faith can proceed from anything beside the Holy Ghost Himself. The Apostle Paul, he says that faith that is a gift of God, thus faith that is proceeding in the first place from the Father. We know that the disciples, they have asked the Lord Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. And thus faith that is coming not only from the Father, but it is coming also from the Son. But we can read in God's Word that the Father and the Son, they are not working of themselves, but they are working through the Holy Spirit, so that He is the applier of that salvation. So He is called the Spirit of faith, and faith that is called the fruit of the Spirit. Paul, he says, no man can say that Jesus Christ is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. No man can say that. Is that so, young people? I can say that Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh yes, you can say that. But that is not what the apostle means. He does not mean that men are not able to say that just with their mouth. But he says that men are not able to say that in truth in their heart. They are not able to say that Jesus is Lord. They are not able to exercise faith in Him. They are not able to trust in Him. They are not able to rely in Him. Except, he says, by the Holy Ghost. And that is now the experience of the true church. That in order to exercise faith, in order even to receive faith, they are dependent upon the Holy Ghost. That dependence is not just an excuse. That dependence is a reality. Faith that is experienced to be the most blessed thing in the life of God's true children. For what reason would that people look for an excuse for the lack of faith? No, God's children, they are not looking for an excuse for their unbelief. Because unbelief that is hated by them. Every exercise of faith that arouses them to seek it yet again, because they may experience a great blessedness, a great peace by that faith. When faith was an exercise, then Job, in all his afflictions, he could say, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Is that not a desirable place? Is that not a blessed place? is not faith experienced to be as such a blessed thing? When Job could say, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth, in the midst of all the false accusations that were coming against him, then must we not say that faith that is the most blessed thing? Boys and girls, did David run away from Goliath? No, you say, David, he ran toward Goliath. How did he run toward Goliath? Well, he ran toward Goliath in faith. Say, we would have run away. We would have been afraid of Goliath. But David was not afraid. Why not? He was not afraid because of faith. And David could say in that confidence of faith that all the earth will know this day that there is a God in Israel. Is not faith a blessed thing? Because faith that gives comfort, faith that gives peace, faith that gives rest, faith that gives courage. Paul, in the midst of that great storm, all fearing for their lives, he may say in that blessed exercise of faith, be of good cheer, for there shall not a hair fall from any of you. Hannah, before that she had conceived in the womb, she began to sing. She began to sing by faith. The bows of the mighty are broken. And those that stumbled, they are girded with strength. Oh, faith, blessed faith, that is a blessed gift. And then when we may experience a little what faith is, and then unbelief and doubt, they become our greatest enemy. Then a man, he does not look for an excuse for it. No, he looks and that all doubt and all unbelief that would forever be done away. But that does not mean that faith, that unbelief and doubt, they still are not a reality. As if the church is able just to help itself. You may ask God's people, and you may read it in God's Word from the beginning to the end. We did read of it. We read of the father of that lunatic. Why else did he say, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief? Did he not desire the healing of his son? Was it not a desirable thing? That he should be able to believe, but what was his experience? That he had no command over that faith? Oh, did Peter desire to sink into the waves? Of course not. But Peter had to experience that salvation that is of the Lord. And that is from the beginning to the end, and that from his own side, and there is nothing that Peter can contribute unto it, not even the least part of faith. Oh, do God's children, do they desire to be cast down because of their worldly mindedness? Do they desire to be discouraged because of their unfruitfulness? Do they desire to be distraught because of the rebelliousness and the fretfulness of their spirit? Or do they desire rather that they may be lifted above all the darkness of their mind and all the bondage of their spirit by blessed views of the love and of the grace and of the mercy of God in the Lord Jesus Christ? But now they must experience what? They have to experience the sovereignty of God also, the Holy Spirit. the sovereignty in his coming, but also the sovereignty in his going, the sovereignty in his inshinings, and the sovereignty in the just withdrawings and the withholdings of himself from their soul. And sometimes even when that sacrament is held, and when they had perhaps so much desire and so much expectation, and when they could come unto the table of the Lord, and then they have to leave again, and then they have to experience that no, and then also that sacrament itself, that could not give it unto them, even when the rest of the church of God that is now rejoicing. David, he says, O Lord, my rock, be not silent unto me. For if thou be silent unto me, I will become like those that go down into the pit. No, that sacrament, that cannot give it. That kind of, it is not the cause of faith. And the church, they have to learn even in their life not to overestimate those sacraments, because it is the Holy Spirit himself who is the author of faith. And yet those sacraments, they are the means. But what kind of means are they? We see that in our second thought. That is, they are not the means for the working of faith, since then we are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits by faith only. Whence doth this faith proceed? Answer, from the Holy Ghost, who works faith in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel, and confirms it by the use of the sacraments. Thus our fathers make a distinction. We hear two words. That is the working of faith. And they distinguish that working of faith from the confirming of faith. Thus the Holy Spirit is the author. But we read that our fathers now, they also speak about the means. Is that not a wonder? That there are means by which that Holy Spirit is giving that faith in order that a man may receive in his soul that righteousness of God. The means of grace. Congregation, do we also use those means? We have an expression, if you want to get wet, then you have to stand in the rain. And the Lord, he does not give faith, and he does not give salvation outside of the use of his own appointed means. Must you then go to the Lord's Supper in order that you may be converted? Oh no. Oh no. Must we be baptized in order that we may be converted? Are we converted, children, young people? Are we converted because that we are baptized? You say no. No. That is also your experience. And why? Because our fathers, they say, those sacraments, baptism, Lord's Supper, they are not the sacraments that are for the working of faith. But they say the Lord is working faith by another means. And what is that means? Well, we read by the preaching of the gospel. What does that mean? That they make a distinction between the two means. The one means is the word of God, and the other means that is the gospel or the word of God. And then they say that that word of God, that is now the means by which the Lord is working faith, by which the Lord is giving faith, by which we may receive children. What you do ask the Lord for every day, when you ask the Lord, wilt thou give me a new heart? But then do you also seek a new heart? How may you get that new heart? That is what our fathers are speaking about here today. Do you also desire that new heart, children? Or do you only pray it because your father and mother tell you to pray it? Because if you will desire it, then you will be asking mother and father to say, how may I also now get it from the Lord? And that's what we hear now in this afternoon, that our fathers are telling us how that faith that can be wrought in your heart, and then it says it is through that word of God. Do you read the word of God? Or do you read, young people, all kinds of books in this world? All the novels, they are written by men in the world, and you will perish with them. But there is one book that is not written by the men of this world, but it is a book that is written by God Himself. Oh, do you read that holy book? But then, our fathers, they are especially speaking here about not even the reading of that Bible, but they are especially here speaking about the preaching of that word of God. By the preaching, it says, of the gospel, then we can never overestimate the value of the preaching of that word of God. And that is even over the private reading of that word of God. The Lord, He has instituted that public ministry. And those offices, they are typified by Christ Himself. The Lord has instituted those offices, we read, just for this specific reason, that He has given the apostles and the prophets and the teachers in that church of God. Why? He says, because faith that cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then He has set that public institution and the administration of the offices also over and above all the David, he says that the Lord, He loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. And thus the Lord, He is coming to bless those means. The Lord is coming when that word is preached, when that word is proclaimed. The Lord is coming to open that word. The Lord is coming to open the heart, even as He opened the heart of Lydia, that she may attend unto the things that were spoken of Paul. Asaph had many riddles. And where were those riddles expounded for him? Where were the questions taken away? And where were all the doubts resolved? Well, that was in the house of the Lord. We read of that eunuch, that he is reading that word of God. Oh, do you read that word of God in your own secret chambers, young people? Fathers, mothers, grandfathers, grandmothers, our time that is so very short. And he was reading in that word of God. And when he was going away from the house of God, away from Jerusalem, then there was not enough there for him. He had not found it yet. And then he was seeking and searching in that word of God. And as he was searching in that word, what did the Lord do? He sent his servant And he told his servant that he had to preach unto this man. And there the Lord, he has taken away all the darkness of the mind and of the soul. And he has given him faith within his heart. No, that is not a power that is inherent in the preaching. That is not a power that is inherent in a minister, that he is able by moral suasion to convince the generality of the people. No. But it is because it is the Lord's institution. And the Lord says he will own it, that he will own it as his own. And therefore 3,000 have cried out in that day of Pentecost upon the preaching of the apostles that they may be delivered out of their misery. And therefore we have the great sin of the neglect of that house of the Lord. But on the other side, we have the legitimate expectation that may live in each and every one of our hearts. When we do awake upon the Sabbath day morning, and that our hearts, they may leap for joy, that it is the Sabbath day, and that we may go with joy and with praise unto that house of the Lord. Is that now also a living in our heart? Let us sing Psalter 160, all the stanzas. O God, give ear unto my cry, and to my voice attend, though far from home and from thy house, to thee my prayers ascend. 1-4 of Psalter number 60.
Thank you.
Since then we are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits by faith only. Whence doth this faith proceed? Answer, from the Holy Ghost, who works faith in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel and confirms it by the use of the sacraments. Thus, our third thought, the sacraments, they are for the confirming of faith. And then in the first place, what does the Lord teach us when he institutes for his church the sacraments? That is the need. The need for the confirmation of faith. Thus the Lord, he acknowledges that very need by giving those sacraments, and by giving those sacraments for precisely this purpose. Thus the Lord does not plant faith in its strength, but the Lord, he is planting faith in its weakness, in its beginnings. And then the Lord is giving what is necessary that that faith may be confirmed, that it may increase, that it may grow. Thus that faith that is planted just like that bruised reed and that smoking flax, that is every moment seeming like it is soon going to be put out. Thus that faith that is planted just like, well, just like a mustard seed. So small, did you ever see a mustard seed, children? You must ask your teacher one day if they can show you a mustard seed, because if there is only one, you can hardly see it. It's so small. And so in God's word we read that so the Lord is planting faith, so very, very small. But then he is causing that faith also to grow. Not in one day. No, over the rest of the lifetime of that people. And then it is step by step, confirming it, strengthening it. And that sometimes even in an imperceptible manner. Israel was not David's first charge. His first charge was that flock of sheep. And Goliath was not his first enemy. But first there was a lion and a bear. The Lord Jesus said to that Canaanitish woman, "Great is thy faith." What obstacles did the faith of that woman not have to overcome? Because she felt and experienced in herself her unworthiness. That is now the manner in which she had to draw nigh unto Christ. She was a heathen. She was a Gentile. She was a worshiper of idols. The hypocrite's faith that is bold, that does not need the sacrament. But the faith of God's church that is planted by the Spirit, but it is also strengthened by the Spirit. It needs to be. And why? It cannot just look over its vileness. When it thinks to appear before the holiness and the majesty of God, then it needs to be strengthened. Then the spirit that needs to draw the people, despite the sin, despite the vileness of their heart. What did Esther say? Did she say, "I will go in unto the king"? No, she said, "Go pray for me. Gather all that are in Shushan. That she may go in unto the king." The knowledge of the sinful existence that is increasing in the life of the people, and the open and the secret sins, they are always ready to cast the people into despair, except that they are encouraged, except that they are drawn, except that faith is given new views, views of that cross of Jesus. The daily backslidings in the life of the church, they are always ready to separate their people from the throne of grace. You do not belong there. And therefore the necessity of that Spirit of the Lord to by times make their hands to drop with that sweet-smelling myrrh from the handles of the lock, that faith may be encouraged, that it may grow, that it may increase, by which that they may truly draw near, draw nigh unto God. And confirms it, we read, by the use of the sacraments. Blessed sacraments. Blessed sacraments. They have one purpose. That people may be encouraged. That strength may be increased. Over against everything that is coming against it in the life of an afflicted and poor people of the Lord. One use, one purpose. The word that has two purposes. The word that is for the working of faith, and that is also for the strengthening of faith. But the sacraments have but one. They are not for the working, we have heard that. But the sacraments, they are given just for this purpose, in order that it may be confirmed. Then we do not participate in them to receive faith. But we participate in them in order that it may be strengthened. And then the existence of faith is presupposed. But not only is the existence of faith presupposed, but also the weakness of faith is presupposed in the sacraments. There is another difference between the sacraments and the Word. That Word of God that is brought every Sabbath again without the sacraments most of the time. Thus, the Word that can be brought without the sacraments. But those sacraments, they may never be brought without the Word. The churches of the Reformation have always emphasized the priority of the Word of God. Also, in the necessity of the explanation of the signs that are in the sacraments, that is over against the Roman Catholic Church. Without the Word, those sacraments, they cannot be understood, they cannot be received, and they become to fickle men superstitious. When Christ instituted the sacraments, then he gave also words of explanation. He says, "This is my body. This is my blood." Congregation, faith. Faith that is necessary unto salvation. Thus the Lord, he is working faith. But the Lord, he is also confirming faith. Christ did not just pay the price and then leave the application for his church in question. No, he has done and does do a complete work from the beginning to the end. And if the Holy Spirit that has ever given us even faith, like the grain of a mustard seed, the smallest amount of faith, then we will know and we will experience the need for its confirmation, the need for its strengthening. We will feel that. And not only the need for that strengthening, but because of the enjoyment of the soul in the exercise of faith, then we will also experience the desire that faith may be strengthened, that it may grow. Do we know the need for the strengthening of faith? Do we know the desire for the strengthening of faith? Because if we miss this knowledge, we miss true faith. Cannot be otherwise. Strong faith that believes things that are otherwise incredible. Just like David, he could go against Goliath with a sling and a stone. How could a man as Saul of Tarsus believe that such as he could be forgiven? Then it is only that faith that must be confirmed, it must be strengthened to that chief of sinners. How could the prodigal return to his father except that the Holy Spirit would strengthen his legs so to go, looking upon the graciousness of a father? The thief, he cannot pray, "Lord, remember me," except that he is strengthened in a holy, in a blessed faith to see by the Spirit's light the innocence of Christ and the cause for which that he hung there. And to see that foundation that was so completely on the outside of himself. Manasseh, he could not fold his hands in that prison. He had shed blood in Jerusalem, filled it from one end of Jerusalem to the other. How can that man pray? Except that faith that is planted that is confirmed. Blessed, blessed faith. Are you yet a stranger of faith? Of the smallest part of faith? Oh, by faith, the poor, they receive the greatest riches that are possible to be received in this world. And that all without money and without price. And now the means, they are set before us. The preaching of the gospel and in those holy sacraments. Oh, congregation, never, never without a lawful reason before the Lord, leave your place empty before Him. But come with supplications. Come as a beggar, because the Spirit, He is now the author. Let Him hear your voice. You know what He says? Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. Long life will I satisfy him, and I will show him my salvation. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, for a few moments, we may consider thy means of grace, and who is now the author. Lord, thou art the author, thou art the cause, and thou hast given us the means. O Lord, we beseech thee, to whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Give us in this hour eyes to see, hearts to understand, and to love, and to choose. And wilt thou seek us out, draw us? Wilt thou plant faith? Wilt thou confirm? Wilt thou strengthen it? That those who feel in that issue of blood may be given to break through and to come in faith, but to touch the hem of thy garment, and they shall be whole. O Lord, give us to know it. Give us to experience it. To thy glory and to thy honor, bring us safely to our places. Give us desires to be busy with the things of thee and thy holy word. Give us a secret chamber before thee to bring all the desires of our hearts. Wilt thou be with us in the labors of this week, the fathers, the mothers, the office bearers, our consistory meeting, and also when we hope to gather for the uniting of a couple in holy matrimony. Be thou among us. Forgive and take away all of our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 210, 2, 4, and 5. The thought of God brought me no peace, but rather made my fears increase. With sleepless eyes and speechless pain, my fainting spirit grieved in vain. The blessedness of long ago made deeper still my present woe. 2, 4, and 5 of Psalter 210. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.